It's 2 o'clock. Good afternoon. This is the afternoon session of the Portland City Council, May 24th, 2017. Susan, please call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Udaly.
Oh. Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Today's council session, we are not taking a vote. We are not deliberating on anything. Today's presentation is sponsored by Commissioners Fritz and Udaly at the request of the family of Quanis Hayes. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. Earlier this year, Teresa Rayford brought Donna Hayes and others to my office requesting an opportunity on the record in council chambers to honor the life of Quanis Hayes. During a scheduled meeting. As many may know, that other community members have been testifying on a lot of other items unrelated because of their desire to talk about this issue. And so I want to thank Goldan Salazar, my office, for working with the Hayes family and my colleagues on the council, including Commissioner Udaly, who's co-sponsoring this event, to do this unusual presentation. So the rules of this meeting are different. We've allowed larger photographs to be brought in, for example. Ms. Donna Hayes is going to lead the presentation, and the people that she's invited to speak will be able to speak here. And this is scheduled for 2 hours. And our job on the council and others in the audience who are not invited to be part of the testimony in the presentation, our job is to be active listeners and to make sure that we hear what the family is saying. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you. First, I'd just like to mention if anyone feels like they need to take a break or have a quiet space, or if you've brought children that need to take a break, my office is open and the conference room has some snacks for everyone. As Commissioner Fritz has already mentioned, we're here today at the request of Donna Hayes to honor the life of her grandson, Quanis Hayes, who was fatally shot on February 9th of this year. As this shooting is the subject of an ongoing internal police investigation, we cannot, as a council, comment on the specific circumstances, but I would like to take this opportunity to extend our condolences to the friends and family of Quanis Hayes. As the mother of a teenage son, my heart has broken 100 times for the Hayes family, imagining their pain and loss. My extended family experienced a similar loss 3 years ago, so I know all too well the devastating ongoing impact that such a traumatic event has. As a city, community, and a council, we must commit to creating police policies and procedures that improve community interactions, repair relations, especially with communities of color, and provide accountability and transparency in order to create a safer community for all of us. I want to thank the family of Quanis Hayes for the strength and bravery that they have demonstrated by bringing this matter to council and helping to continue this vitally important dialogue during what is an incredibly challenging time for them. I'd now like to welcome Donna Hayes to the table. Thank you for being here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Glasses. Excuse me. Okay, my name is Donna Hayes. Greetings, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. Thank you for the time you are giving me as a grieving grandmother who had to aid in burying her grandson. I want to first say to you, my mayor and police commissioner, that I voted for you. I don't give up my vote easily. With investigation, reasoning, and prayer, I chose you. I saw a man with a heart full of compassion, with a drive unmatched. I knew when I voted for you that you stood for ban the box. You promised to build a better government and accountability. The Basic Rights Oregon endorsed you because you care. Now, let me tell you a little about me. I am from Chicago. I left Chicago because I felt it was becoming open season on children. I came to Portland in 1998 with two young sons. In 1999, I had my youngest daughter and encouraged my oldest daughter, who was pregnant with her firstborn. Slowly over time, all my children, my mother, my sister, and brother, and their children came too from my urging and description of this beautiful city. This was a place where people stopped their cars and flagged you across. You could learn someone's life story at the bus stop. Over time, I learned something else. This state didn't really want me here. In 1859, Oregon became a state with a black exclusion law written into its constitution. Another example is how Oregon refused to sign the 14th Amendment, and they didn't want me to vote. I couldn't marry someone that looked like you. I looked past these things even after reading the article by Atlantic calling Portland the whitest city in America. Despite Oregon's working to make this a white utopia, I stayed and encouraged my family to stay. I left Chicago for peace. Here I thought I had it. On February 9, 2017, the city of Portland declared war on my family, and the first casualty was Quantus Hayes, my 17-year-old grandson. I planned to fight this war. Yes, we had some black moments like we were here that was testing the water. For example, my son, a professional, headed to a sports bar to watch his favorite team. He was pulled over and forced to explain his coming and going. Has that ever happened to you? Commissioners, this one I like. My son and I were walking down Southeast Ankeny from 122nd to 117th. This is a stretch of road with no sidewalks. A police car pulled beside us. An officer directed his rough statement to my son, even though we were walking together. He said, "Get on the sidewalk." My son then pointed out the obvious. There's no sidewalks. He then just skirted away. This is just two. There is a lot more that my family, friends, and extended family have, having black moments here in Portland. Getting back to the war on that fateful day in February, two people were shot in this utopia. One black, one white. Guess who lived? In this year, to date, there was four police shootings. Two lived, a white man and a dog. Two died, they were black. This made me feel like my grandson was less than a vicious dog. I read the mission, value, and goals for the police department, and I wasn't sure if I should laugh or cry or both. Their mission is to preserve life. Whom? Mr. Perkins or Quantus Hayes? The value that they are supposed to have is non-existent. Where is the integrity when one commits a crime and the other in blue stand on that lie? Where is the compassion when a 65-year-old is slammed to the ground or a group in a stairwell is pepper sprayed? Where's the accountability when every grand jury hearing proved that officers guiltless or never find an error in a cop? Where is the respect when the police tell the press before the family so they call and learn about their loved ones just like the public? Where is the excellence when a police beat up kids and feel justified for it? My other grandson at age 15 suffered this act. Where is the service when on the same day a white is wounded and a black child is killed? This is the police bureau's written values. in the directive for Portland police goals in the policy section, it says our police is guided by the principle that the individuals have infinite dignity and worth. I had to stop writing because this statement broke my heart. My grandson on his knees, shot in the head, he had no dignity, no worth. The dog that was shot by the police had more worth. The police showed our family worth by dragging my grandson's name through the mud. It made me think, according to the police contract, about embarrassing a police officer. What makes them better than Moose? I want you to know you'll hear Moose often in there. That's what we call my grandson. Did you know the birth of American police came from the institution of slavery? Slave patrols, night watch, later became modern-day police department. If you want more details, Google it. You'll be surprised. I must stay on track. I know this is a war. I will not fight like militarized police force, but as a citizen with a voice. The city, county, state, country will hear not only for my people, but for all the silent voices. For brown people, homeless, for our mentally ill, again, for those silenced, unable to speak from the grave. I will be the strong voice in this. Again, my name is Donna Hayes. Remember it. You will hear it again. Know this is a revolutionary war, just like the ones fought by this country against the British. But this one will be against our government, who stand by let these atrocities stand with a blind eye. Did you know the people protested their harsh treatment and they were arrested like you're doing now? Just like Schaefer was arrested for standing with my family over the murder of my grandson, Quanis. I hope this is not your way of silencing this revolution, for this is not going to happen. When you arrest one, two takes their place. If you haven't noticed the growth of these organizations, look, Don't Shoot Portland, Black Lives Matter, the Black Panthers, and many grassroots organizations that are popping up in this city you manage. These are organizations that is fought by citizens of Portland. If you watch closely, you will notice that the color lines are blurred. Where once this city stood divided and looked at them, now joining together to fight a common enemy, your city military, the police. Mayor Wheeler, I don't envy your job. I believe you knew ex-Mayor Hale set you up. You took the job anyway. You became a mayor of a broken city with dirty little secrets. When these people protest at your home, your first reaction was to remove them. I'm sorry, but just like the president of the country, you have a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week job. Even on your vacation, if a problem arises, you got to come back. We often hear police accountability. I say before accountability, we need to demilitarize them first. Soldiers and police shouldn't look the same. They should be different. Our cities are using federal dollars to build small armies as our police force. This brings out the idea of war on drugs. For all who don't know, that was the farce Nixon created to keep the irritated him off his agendas. Hippies and weeds fighting against his war he was waging. Black and heroin. This is to curb the civil rights movement. You know there can be no accountability if we don't know what happened. I personally cannot live with myself if I knew it was wrong and do nothing about it. but he or she did. No, he or she didn't do it, but he or she didn't tell. I laugh and think about all the detective programs that they have out. They want you to talk, but they don't give up this concept. Where is the accountability in that? Police accountability can they be held accountable when they are protected from above? I am not talking about the union because it is their job to protect the police. I am talking about the DA and judges. Here is where an example. DA Rod Underhill was responsible for indicting Andrew Hearst 2013 for the murder of Mr. Hatch. It took those two men 12 minutes from arriving to end the man's life that was having a mental health crisis because of a lack of evidence of indictment and because of lack of indictment, Hearst was free to murder my grandson. Now with no hope of indictment because Portland's record of not indicting police, Hearst is free to kill again. It took him 4 years to kill Qantas. I wonder whose family member he'll take out next. I wonder maybe that our DA doesn't have enough evidence to set before a grand jury. Most jobs require a drug test after an injury. Our police are not required to take one after a shooting. How about this? They have 48 hours to get their lie in order before they have to make a statement. This is a real good one. The victim is put on trial. And being dead, they can't defend themselves. They make the victim at fault. The judge and the grand jury then accept this as you deserve it. The few transcripts I could get showed me the same thing, victim, guilty, cop, innocent. And I have read quite a few. And I mean, not just here in this state, but across the country, I've been reading. When problems arise with your military in blue, you need to be on the scene. I watch you on the scene of your fourth shooting. Commissioner, you should have been on the scene when your military in blue shot the dog. My grandson that morning and Mr. Perkins that evening. They are your responsibilities too, sir. This city have a messy way of handling our rights. The police should be demilitarized, for they are not an army. When Hearst first arrived, he went for an assault rifle. On the day of my grandson's burial, we came downtown and was met for our efforts by an army. They had tear gas. We had children. I had a 7-month-old, and my daughter had her 11-year-old at her side. A child was pushed over by your army. Oh, God, have I heard stories, one with your citizens racing down a stairwell followed by pepper spray and people being trampled. That is frightening. These are people that your job mandate that you take care of, protect, see to their well-being. But instead, they are bullied, tortured and killed by the ones we thought we need. My 74-year-old mother had to bury her great-grandson also and was forced to watch an illegal arrest of a man who was keeping her safe. He stood in front of her, and the police pushed him off the sidewalk and arrested him. The image on the news of police wearing helmets and masks, toting assault rifles, and riding in mine-resistant armored vehicles. Why is the police department like an army? When we protest against the harsh treatment of police dressed like an army, they shouldn't look or dress like an army. Don't we have the National Guards for military use? Why do our police look like they are going to war when they are about to engage the citizens they have sworn to protect? We are not the enemy. Well, not until they kill one of us. Then they become our enemies as they become my enemy. They make enemies by stomping, dragging, beating, pepper spraying, and murdering our families. We do have a tank or armored vehicle for what? Why do we have an armored vehicle? From my understanding, they protect from landmines. For real? Landmines? Where in Portland are there landmines? If there are landmines, would you inform the citizens where they are? So we can be protected. We won't go that way. Assault weapons. Now we are back to war again. Are there cartels in Portland? Do we really need assault weapons, armored vehicles here? Did I really misjudge this place, being clean, green, and friendly? I'm here seeking answers. You all just explained Qantas' death away. I read 509-page grand jury transcript. No one was seeking the truth the way things was looked. It was a way to justify Hearst's murder of Qantas. The justification didn't just end there. Another officer stated she told Qantas about having a BB gun that looked real, and she didn't bother to tell his mother. That day she talked to his mother. I don't understand why she didn't tell her. The officer had a perfect opportunity when she talked to his mother, or was this a cover-up? Your own butt after the fact, or just to give them the benefit of the doubt. They were waiting on an opportunity to use him as target practice. So let's keep this knowledge to ourselves. Qantas gave the police a fictitious name. This was not the sign of a suicidal teen. For him to bring a fake gun to an assault rifle fight, this is suicidal. No, if you believe the transcript, he came with a false name and a good pair of running shoes and an opportunity to get away. I wish you all stopped covering up for this murder. Let's use some common sense. Qantas was not suffering from a mental crisis. He didn't bring a play gun to a shootout. He didn't deserve to die. In several cases, Moose ran from the police. For him to pull out a play gun seconds before he died, he had to be suicidal. Please, Hearst shot my grandson because he shouldn't be a cop. Why do police have to have a different standard of guilt than a citizen? If I shot someone, my grand jury hearing would not contain me or my lawyer. But when it is the police, they can come. In fact, they are thanked for coming. Their lawyer, the union, is present. Two different standards. God forbid you embarrass one of the union, one. The union is down your throat, but you can take my grandson and drag him through the mud. Call a kid a grown man, a drug addict. Hearst is a grown man and maybe a drug addict. We don't know because no one checked. Why wasn't Hearst checked? Qantas was. What makes Hurt so special after two shootings? No one checked to see if drugs was present in his system. With the police cover-up and silent mode, how do we know what happened during random drug testing? That's what they tell me. They do random drug testing. They don't tell the truth. This is something that should be done by a community organization, some group like Cop Watch. Now, that is an accountability. Okay? I am here looking for your heart for help, not the CEO of Portland, City of Portland, not the legal side, but the protector of the city. Not just the police commissioner, but the head of the city. I mentioned this once. I wouldn't want to be in your place. I wouldn't want to walk into an office left by hell. A man who didn't care how he left the city or the people of the city. If he cared, that unpopular police contract wouldn't exist. God only knows the horrors he left you. Stepping into an office and less than a month later, two officers involved shooting. No, I wouldn't want your job. You chose this job because our governor was scared you would run against her. But since you have this job voted in by the citizens of Portland, you have a duty to us. Your job should go to the kid on his knees, the visitor with the afro terrorized by your police, the homeless, the people being beat up, stamped to the ground, arrested for protesting, and my personal favorite, want to be shot by a cop. These are your responsibility to the deceased and the hurt by your police bureau. You are the head of the police force. By being mayor and commissioner, remove the bed. Sit some behind desks. Stop giving them life and death choice. Giving them life and death to who are capable. Give the life and death choices to people who are capable of this. And respect life. I believe Andrew Hearst, a free murderer, is a danger to the city. Andrew Hearst was not invited to the team or even sent. On page 486 of that grand jury transcript, quote, "We saw the team of officers on the side, south side of the road. Instead of being sent, he just showed up and came prepared with a lethal weapon. He stated that his role and responsibility was the lethal role." No, it was not. He just showed up. Nowhere in the transcript was he asked to assume that role. Again, he just showed up. Now, as we responsible people allow Andrew Hearst to carry an assault rifle again when he was in the situation 4 years ago. The man grew up in one of the most racist states in America, North Idaho. This place is known for harboring a neo-Nazi compound. This place also experienced religious bigotry. Did anyone check his credentials? Do you have a plan set in place to check for bigotry, or is this a plus in this whitetopia? He stated he went to a Bible college. Isn't he in the wrong field? For real, he states he went through a lot of training. Again, for real, Mike Marshman can get signed off. Why can't Andrew? This person said he went through ECIT. This is Enhanced Crisis Intervention, which involves mental illness or behavior help. My grandson had to be expressing mental health issues in order to, by the transcript, pull a play gun and go up against an assault rifle. This person was a part of the neighborhood response team. Their job, according to him, was to help the neighborhood with chronic nuisance issues and livability concern. I guess my grandson was on that concern. Another thing that stands out in his training for his assault rifle. 4 years ago, he carried an AR-15, shot 5 times, and missed. Mr. Hatch was a moving target, and his present training, he didn't account for a moving target. Now the training division requested more training from her. I guess his training paid off. Because according to him, Qantas was a moving target reaching for a gun. I asked a police officer, was this an AR-15 he was carrying? And he walked away as if I wasn't talking to him. Just walked away. I was invisible to him. Keep in mind, the building he was walking out of, the name was Community Policing. Am I not part of the community? Did not my question deserve an answer? Because it seemed he'd rather shoot me than answer my question. This is the way he made me feel. I find it so hard to believe Qantas was reaching for anything in his waistband or pockets. We are a black family. We have talks about what to do if you're stopped by a police. My 4-year-old grandson over there can tell you what to do if he's stopped by police. Here's another history lesson for your benefit. Martin Luther King was assassinated all over the country. Cities were set on fire. Don't let this happen to this city. No, this is war. It's only a matter of time before your citizens say enough is enough. Truly, your tourism and the people moving here will stop. Really, really, I left Chicago because it was a messy city. This is a messy city, too. But everything right now is kept as a dirty little secret. How long will you be able to keep the secret of police killing citizens, also hindering their rights? Hear our voices. Make change. Let the city take the necessary steps to be really beautiful. What is the Independent Review Board? From what I read and my visit there, they are a waste of city resources. They lack power. They make recommendations and it's ignored. For example, they recommended the 48-hour rule and state in the beginning, who's in charge? Truly, if someone was in charge, they would have stopped Hearst from being the lethal weapon. But never once do I read, was somebody in charge? Nobody told him to give the lethal weapon. And that 48-hour rule, like I say, gave him an opportunity to get his life correct. The compliance officer and the city liaison report for the third and fourth quarter of 2016 stated the use of force was in partial compliance, which states the city police force need additional work. My grandson murder is an example of how much work is needed. For all who don't understand this report, it is the required resolution from the federal government stepping in when Hearst and his two fraternity brothers in blue decided to shoot Mr. Hatch for aiming a telephone receiver at them. It also speaks of training about the use of force, again, partial compliance. Who would have guessed? And again, this raises questions about the Independent Review Board suggestion. I watched Portland for the 19 years I have been here, and I have not seen them rectify its mistakes. One of your first action you to was to make initial assignments of the city departments known as bureaus, the five commissioners of which you assign yourself to Portland Police Bureau. As police commissioner, what will you do about our family aftermath? Right after Quanah's murder, our family, a close-knit family, fought and argued over what steps to take next because we just didn't know what to do. We should have came together, but we drew apart. Where should we have stood together, we walked away. This city took a loving, proud family and buried them with Quanah's. We talked to him with tears. We have to repeat to the 4 and 3 years that the four-year-old and three-year-old that the hero is not coming back. We have a 7-month-old that will never know of Quanah's. Only way he'll know of Quanah's through pictures and us talking. And these will be sad stories. Let me speak for me, how I live. Every time I see some devastating parent looking back over their child's life, I cry. Every time I see my daughter sitting with a blank stare on her beautiful face, I cry. When I walk through another person and still trying to live with no hope for resolution for the death of their loved one, I cry. When I am on a line and I see a video of a person killed, beaten, mauled by a canine, I cry. I keep a picture of Moose on my phone, and sometimes I look at it and I cry. I miss him terribly as my heart tears loose. I watch him come into the world. I watch that baby be born. I was right there, catcher's mitt, ready for that baby to come into the world. And I cried for that. That was a happy cry. I watch my daughter cry over the life she brought into the world and cry not only for me, but for her. I believe that I will be crying forever. My heart hurts for me, my family, and everyone that suffered under the hands of our military in blue. What are we supposed to do if we run across hers? That's a scary thought for me and my family. We live in the East Precinct. We have never been comfortable with the police. Now it's even worse. What are we supposed to do now that the city has swept Quanah's under a rug? How are we supposed to live? Quanah's loss and no real justice. Mayor, what are we supposed to do? Are we a part of this city? Are we a part of the message that you, as an elected official, is supposed to take care of? Where is our help? Why must we be the complex part of society? Why do we have to live with the unfairness? Step up, sir. Do your job. Keep your word. Let this be a peaceful resolution to the war. Again, I am looking to your heart for help. Not the corporation side, but the protector of the city. Not the police commission only, but the head of all. I mentioned this once. I would not want to be in your place. I wouldn't want to walk into your office left by hell who did not care. I wouldn't want to see the horrors hidden behind the beauties of the city. Stepping into an office 1 month later and police-involved shooting. And by a racist serial killer. see what goes on in the city council. I see what goes on in the city council, the lack of respect and the accountability your constituents hold you to. I don't want your job that I had to step up, and because we are at war. I don't want to be in everyone's office talking about my heart and the things I have read. It is so trying. Going to bed early or falling asleep in a chair. This is not how I see my life. But we are at war. The dead needs a spokesperson. I assure you, Mayor, this is a war. I know you didn't start or would be able to end this war. The city has become leeway when it comes to that foolish contract. You can place certain positions on the civil roles. You have the power to execute rights for the level of service, methods of service. You can hire, lay off, transfer, promote, discipline, or discharge an officer. I read the contract. If you choose not to fire Hurst, send him at a desk and definitely send him to another precinct. There is a clause for repeat cause. You have several cops that have fallen into that realm. There's several cops that have been repeat shooters. Somebody need to do something about that. For accountability, after a lethal force, do a psychological evaluation and make it public. We need to know who is actually protecting us. Is it some psychotic person? Do an immediate drug test, also made public. I am not an island. In order to make change, we must collaborate and find common ground, whether we agree or disagree with each other's thoughts. I am willing to work with you, Mayor. I hope you are willing to work with me. I will not stop. Kwana's murder should result in change, reform in the police department. Make some changes. Let the world see my city of choice, a city I chose, is standing in the right and standing up for its citizen. I really don't want this forgotten. This is a war. I don't want you to forget this is a war. People are fighting here and around this country. Cop Watch, Don't Shoot Portland, Black Panthers, Brown Beret. This is just to name a small portion in your city. Mayor, standing with the police bureau is a losing battle. They have to change. Remember, as a supporter of the Constitution, the Fifth Amendment, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. Terrell Johnson, Quanis Hayes lost their life without due process. No arrest, no trial. Their due process came from their Judge Dredd. Stand up for the framers of the framers that stood for. Stand up for the framers of the Constitution. Please pick a chief of police that will demonstrate the capacity, the commitment. These are your words. Commitment to expand an existing strategy as well as create new ones to improve relationships with the people of color who at present have no use for the police. And that's a true statement. You couldn't say it no better. It's so true. You know there is racism here. I will give you an example. Four shot, two lived. A white man, a dog, two died, both black. The union wants to highlight or acknowledge the hard work, the dedication, the professionalism, and integrity of the police department. I will highlight it for them. I acknowledge that they are dedicated to themselves and wiping out people of color. They show me their professionalism when they won't answer a simple question or act like you don't exist. Integrity is something I have not seen, especially with the lies, secrets they keep from my family and the world during their mocked investigation. I have saved the hard work for last. From where I stand, I see only fear, for that is what they use to kill a citizen. As I read that article, I wanted to vomit. Please don't let those bigots dictate how you run your city. The people are tired. Please remember the civil rights era. Don't let Portland burn. Be a part of history. No, not just repeating history. I hope you really see the injustice, or do you like hearing your own voice? Allow me to end with observation. What I ask is obtainable. With this, I have not just come here just to whine and complain. I think you should know where the shooting by Hearst put a family and the consequences of that action. But I am looking for change, looking for change. Mr. Bell back east created a slogan after the police murder of his son. It says, when police kill, should they judge themselves? Now, that is a question for you. I hope you'll be able to answer that. Wisconsin is the first state in the nation to mandate on the legislative level that if an officer was involved with a loss of life, that outside investigators should come in and collect the data and investigate the shooting. They shouldn't do this. Dear friends, the police here are friends. They stick together. They lie together. They shouldn't investigate each other. You allow officers that work with Hearst and some, maybe his friends, to investigate him. This city wants transparent investigation. I want a transparent investigation. If the officer did everything right, show everybody. I do recognize that officers risk their life, but do they all? Do they make judgment calls that end lives unnecessary? Change needs to happen. Men of color are in extreme danger. This is my nephew. He is in danger. We have a problem with training. Racism that put all in danger. How about anti-racism training? So your cops stop targeting certain ethnicities to help break down some common assumption. Because there are some common assumption. They look at him and the first thing come out their mouth, he ain't got no driver's license. That's a common assumption. I ride the bus. I don't have driver's license. I'm smart. Some sort of de-escalation training. This might have saved Moose's life. If somebody had just taken the time to see if that boy was coming out that thing with his hands up. This would aid in a peaceful resolution, not always resulting in death. Let lethal force be a last result. This is now my personal favorite. Demilitarized policing. Did you see all the military equipment on the ground in Ferguson? Did anybody see that? Your police practice chemical warfare. I watched them with tear gas on their back. That's chemical warfare against citizens. Your community policing doesn't work. You know why? Because the community isn't important. The community is an enemy. My last question, I would like to like an answer. Do Hearst live in the East Precinct? I do. He does. If he doesn't, he shouldn't work there. Please make your transition to governor. Make your transition to the governor's seat easy, because I know that's where you're headed, and you can make it there. You can. You have the heart. You have the drive. You can. And I would vote for you. Mandatory body cams. That's something mandatory. If it is tampered with, make an option, jail or dismissal. Because they do tamper with them, because they don't want you to know what they just did. Finally, put cameras in all the transporting vans. People being transported need some form of security. I have presented my case. Thank you. I'd just like to add one more thing. For two years, Salt Lake City hasn't killed anybody. Look at what they do. There are cities and states all over this country are making a change. Come on, Portland, let's make that change with them. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, we're not done. Okay, my mother want to come up. Sylvia Dollison.
I got her.
And Adonis. What you got to say, Adonis?
That.
Come up close.
I miss my brother.
That was his hero. What we're looking at, that was his hero. This boy, actually, Qantas used to protect him from me. I get mad at him. Qantas was being a hero. I had to check Qantas, like, pay attention. I'm his grandma. I'm not going to kill him. But that was his protector. Okay. Thank you. Adonis Hayes, for the record.
My name is Sylvia Dollison. I'm Qantas's great-grandmother. I need to tell you how I felt burying my great-grandson. It hurt. It still hurts. I was angry, and I was hurt. I've gotten rid of some of the anger, but I'm still hurt. They killed my great-grandson. Now, I want you to think about something. I'm on my knees. I'm 17 years old with baggy pants. I'm on my knees with one hand up and one hand trying to hold them baggy pants up. What danger am I to you that would make you shoot me? What danger? I was on my knees trying to pull up my baggy pants with one hand up. I was a danger to the police officers. Why didn't others pull guns? There need to be a change. They had a demonstration downtown after Qantas' burial. I wanted to go out in the street, but because the police had injured an older lady, there were some young men who stopped me from going. They stood me on the sidewalk and held out their hands in front of me like this. A policeman came up grabbed and snatched the young man off the sidewalk, put handcuffs on him, and arrested him. I found out his name, and I went to go to court with him. Got to the court, nothing. Everything dropped. But why did they arrest him in the first place? I don't understand. Why is it that my family gets together nearly every holiday, make little bags of candy, and take it downtown and pass it out to the homeless? Why did the police find it necessary this last time we did around Easter to follow us all around downtown? Why? I would like to know why. And I would like to know, what do you plan on doing? I still got great-grandsons. I got grandsons. I don't want to live through another death like I just went through. It hurts. It hurts too bad. Please, do something about it. And back to what my daughter said, I trusted you, and I voted for you. Do something. Change this police force. Get some people who care about people. If they're going to protect us, then they have to care about us also. Give them psych evaluations. See what they're prone to do. Do something, Mayor, please.
Thank you.
You ready?
I have Terrence Hayes. This is Moose's cousin.
Thank you. How y'all doing? My name is Terrence Hayes. It's a pleasure to be here. My auntie invited me. To be honest, I don't think y'all going to do anything. I think it's easy for y'all to be in y'all position. I think some of y'all sincerely care and is powerless, and some of y'all really don't. And that's your agenda. That's your particular right. I don't really care to judge who you is inside. That's a particular, that's your race and background or whatever. That's not on me to judge. But you guys do have a responsibility to the people of the city. And that our family do have a right to judge. And the city has a right to judge. And no matter what, this commission has to be serious about the fact that there is a problem. There's always this misconception that when a family endures something like this, that we think all police officers is evil and everybody has an agenda against us. That's not what my family is saying. What we saying is there is a particular atrocity that happened to us. And because that atrocity happened to us, we became more aware of the fact that many families is going through the same thing, and particularly within this city. There are police officers that go to work every day that love this city and love the people. And then there's police officers that don't. There are citizens that wake up and work hard every day. Then there's people like I was as a young man that was selfish and conceited and did violence towards others. I was punished for my offense to this city. Part of my indictment was I committed an offense to the peace of Portland, of this city. It is interesting that police officers are wrecking the peace of this city, and there is no accountability to that. That's what the people is lamenting about. That there seems to be this idea that because we're saying that there's a need for change, that we believe everybody has the problem. No, we believe that a particular system has existed. And because that system has worked for so many years, that system is oppressive at times. I'm an electrician now. I got my trade during my incarceration. I was blessed that there were people during my incarceration that cared about me coming home and succeeding. But the truth of the matter is, my style as an electrician is reflected by the journeyman who taught me. you become an apprentice to somebody, you take on their traits and attributes like a disciple does. What we're saying is that after hundreds of years of slavery, after hundreds of years of Jim Crow laws, after hundreds of years of segregation, that there is a system that has existed. And that sometimes people are oppressors in the system when they don't even know that they are, because they have taken the traits of people that came before them. We're saying that this commission has an obligation.